If you've just joined us, you're watching Stock Watch. My name is Sigim Gabadeli. Don't forget to send us your questions. You can send your questions to 33814 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Joining me to discuss those questions and anything you want to know about your stocks in studio with me, Nessa Nayo, who's with Sasfin Securities, and Bright Kumalo, who is with Vestact. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your time today. So, taking a bit of a breather today, the All Share Index, but so far this year, I think up about just over 10%.
Yeah, that's more or less where we are in the market. I mean, remember for the whole of last year, we were down 11%.
Yeah.
So we've kind of made up the losses of the whole of last year. But, you know, I think we've reached a point now where commodities have run, resources have run. A lot of the good news, international good news about US, China, has filtered through to the market. Softer central bank policy going through for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So maybe the market is taking a bit of stock, you know, maybe taking a bit of profits, because we've still got a lot more happening towards the rest of the year. And it's, you know, some of the US markets, like the NASDAQ, for example, is up 20%. Chinese markets are 30%.
Yeah.
Okay. And it just can't go on, you know, forever. You have to take a bit of a breather, which is probably the phase we're in right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's all this talk about the concerns about global growth as well. So I suppose it's a good time to take a bit of a pause.
Yeah, I think that's more a concern of, you know, emerging markets more than, you know, like the likes of the U.S. Maybe the U.K. and, you know, the greater Euro area, Germany, they seem to be slowing down. But the U.S. is still pumping on all cylinders, even though the U.S. dollar for the past 2 weeks has been weakening against major currencies. But I guess that has sent that stock market into, you know, new territories, as we've seen basically this whole week. The market has been green. So depends on, you know, where you invested and what you're looking at. It could be very good or very bad.
Yeah. And getting your sense of the U.S. market itself, and what's the likelihood of a Fed hike by the end of this year?
I absolutely have no idea. I'm not even going to try to call these economic things.
Reading those minutes from their last meeting, it seemed that the interpretation was that they were hinting towards possibly just pulling the brakes, given what you're saying about that economic growth.
Yes, they did say that they want to, you know, choose a much more friendly approach. Friendlier to the president or friendlier to business.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, trees don't grow to the sky and not everything goes to zero. At some point, you'll need to readjust and go back to quote unquote normal, which we don't know what normal is, considering the fact that we're at all time lows in terms of, you know, interest rates in the US. And for the past 40 years, it's been free money basically that's been printed all over the show. All you had to do is have a bit of capital and you'd have made a lot of money. Yeah. In the stock market.
Let's have a look at some stocks that have been in the news today. Sibanye Stillwater, capital raising exercise, but they've got a headache with labor.
Yeah. Second one for the week.
Yeah.
Remember the first one, they did a private placement.
Yes.
and raised working capital. Now they've done a forward sale of effectively what sounds like a forward sale of gold product. Last year, remember, they also did a forward sale, similar sort of deal, with their platinum and palladium production. You know, they say that it's to try and, you know, create liquidity, you know, given that some of their operations are striking. But investors not taking the news too well, I think. You know, the dilution out of this private placement that they did, at the current levels, you know, the sort of 16, 17 rand, remember, the stock was, you know, well above 60, not so long ago. So, you know, I think the institutional investors would have liked it because they enjoy exposure to a company that's giving them, you know, leveraged upside to the gold and the platinum and the palladium prices. But for the private investors, I think, you know, been holding on the stock from the time it listed.
It's not
the best news, I think.
All right. Market liking Altron's results Saturday. I think that stock ended up just over 4% on the day.
Yeah, that's on the back of a trading update, basically, that they expect earnings to be up around 44% to 60%, something ridiculous like that. And it's kind of been like that for the past 2 years. It's been, you know, one way, it's straight enough for Altron, and the share price is up something like north of 71% in that 1 year period. But you know, it's not a stock I follow with keen interest. So I don't know the underlying reasons why there's so much positivity. All I know is that Sipho and his team came in and, you know, bought the shares and went, you know, active on the management side of things, and since has proven to be very fruitful so far.
Right. Yeah. Yeah,
part of the reason you know, the earnings are up so much is because they're changing the way in which they recognize revenue for Netstar. You know, it's so yes, it is an increase in headline earnings, but it's not what we would call, you know, a quality increase in earnings, especially when, you know, you change your accounting treatment from 1 year to the next year. They did provide a like-for-like number, which I think was about half the growth that that they expected to report.
Still solid.
It's still solid, but we'll be keen to see when the actual results come out, you know. Are they actually growing their business, growing
their market share?
Yeah, I think that's the sort of thing we'd want to look at.
All right, let's have a quick look at some questions. Sanjay says, please ask your guests, what's the difference between Putumanati and MultiChoice in terms of dividend PE voting rights? Should I sell Putumanati and switch to MultiChoice?
So, you know, MultiChoice is the operating business.
Yeah.
It's the DSTV, the local business and the offshore business. Putumanati, I think, is only the South African business.
Correct.
And it's, I think Putumanati owned about 25% of the SA DSTV business.
Yeah.
I don't think that you have too much debt, but it, because of the cash flow that comes in, they're able to pay a much better dividend than what MultiChoice pays. I'm not sure what the discount is these days.
The dividends basically on Putumanati is north of 20% after taxes, and that's mostly, like you said, you know, like the mother company needs the cash, and it feeds back to the company, and you as an equity shareholder there, you get that same benefit. But what he's asking is, there's going to be an option where you can convert some of your Putumanatis into MultiChoice. I think it's a good idea if you want, you know, diversification, and also you get exposure to the fast growing business in Africa, which is growing much faster than the South African business. They can only add so many DSTV subscribers here locally, but offshore they still got, you know, legs, you know, which is, I guess, positive for the business as a whole, MultiChoice.
Yeah, you get that exposure through the MultiChoice.
Correct. I mean, you look at places like Ghana where they've got like, you know, 28% or 27% electricity, you know, penetration. So the potential for growth once they have electricity penetration, because there is an electric company there working on getting that up to 52%. They did a very big capital raise recently. So things are looking up, for example, in places like that. But it's all happening in, you know, in congruently, basically, in all of those countries where they're trying to increase electricity penetration and then mobile penetration, and then you'll see people subscribing to these, you know, companies like DSTV, because I mean, they provide entertainment.
And I know we're very cynical here about what we watch and whether we still subscribe and downgrading and upgrading our subscription. But as you say, outside of South Africa, it's a difference.
This is still brand new to them. Yeah.
You know, the concern obviously is there's a migration to these video on demand services.
Yeah.
So, you know, the likes of Netflix and Hulu from Disney, which, you know, offers a much better pricing model, because you get to watch what channels you want to watch, whereas, you know, with a DSTV you get what, 400 channels, and you're only watching really three or four of them. So, you know, they maybe need to re-look at their revenue model. Instead of charging a fixed subscription, maybe charge on, you know, just charge people what they want to or what they consume in terms of entertainment. And I suppose the other big point to make with the difference between Putumanati and MultiChoice is that Putumanati is restricted to BEE shareholders only, you know, whereas MultiChoice is available to
anyone. It's open to everyone. All right, here's another question from Dia, who says, please ask your guests for their comments on Blue Label and Mondi at current levels. Let's start with Blue Label.
I don't follow either.
None of them.
Yeah, they don't excite me, both of them. But if you're still holding Blue Label Telecom right now, good luck.
Okay, you heard that, dear. Say.
Yeah.
Listen, I think the cloud over Blue Label is the Cell C deal, right?
Yes.
They went into Cell C, took a 45% stake in Cell C at the time. The problem with Cell C is that it's cash hungry. I mean, it's profitable at the EBITDA level, but you know, with most massive telecommunications business, in order to stay current and to improve the quality of your service, you have to continue make these huge capex investments. And you know, I don't think Blue Label has got that sort of deep pockets that are required ultimately, you know, to continue the investment in Cell C. Invariably, the debt in Cell C becomes a problem for them as well. There is this Buffett consortium that's going to come in to Blue Label and provide some relief or an equity injection or some sort of funding
arrangement.
Yeah.
But you know, that's been in the news for a while now, and there's no real news that have come out. So you know, one wonders whether the Buffett consortium is waiting for the price to go even lower before they get in. Existing shareholders more than likely will be diluted by such a deal.
Yeah, so, to the wazoo.
Yeah, so it's not for me. You know, it's probably not worth getting involved in. If you are involved there, you need to understand that your capital is at some risk. You know, it's not completely risk free. Blue Label's non-Cell C businesses, so their traditional business of selling prepaid data, still a great business, and it's still reasonably cash generative. Not big on margin, but big on volume. I mean, they dominate that area, and they have some nice international businesses as well.
Monday, big in India, big in South America.
Yeah,
it seems to be doing fine there. Probably shouldn't have bought Cell C in hindsight.
It's 2020 vision.
You know, we can say that about a lot of South African companies. You know, famous brands, yeah. And Woolworths, and you know. But I think at the time. I'm not sure, you know, corporate
even
financiers.
Even at the time.
Corporate financiers.
Everyone knew.
corporate financiers come in and, you know, they whack out their briefcases and they show you a deal and get
and
you all
show
excited.
You graphs and it looks fantastic.
And it looks wonderful, but, you know, you only really know what you're in for 6 months down the line.
Yeah.
With Mondi, I mean, we like Mondi. It's largely paper packaging, fiber packaging. They do have a little bit of plastics as well. But the packaging that they make is largely for cardboard boxes and things. They have a vertical operation, so you know they own a lot of the plantations. They own a lot of the paper mills as well, based in Europe primarily. And if you look at online, for example, you know, a lot of the stuff that's distributed online is through boxes.
Through boxes, yeah.
So the only concern is, like any commodities business, they're at the mercy of pricing. So there are times when, and China seems to dominate that sort of pricing. You know, there's times when prices are high and then they have very good earnings, and prices are low, their earnings are not so good. But over the years, they've paid a good dividend. They very well run, I think, as a management team. They've done relatively well over the years. And, you know, the share price over the last 10 years has really done well. I mean, they're worse businesses you could have invested in.
Okay. We're going to look at some international stocks. A couple of questions on LVMH. They were also out in the news today. It's time to take a short break. Keep sending through your questions via SMS to 41392, or you can email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Stay with us. Welcome back. Let's take a quick look at international markets at this point. Those ones also in the United States taking a bit of a breather. We've been watching developments between the US and China, and of course the US and the EU at this point. I'm sure that will be something that traders in those markets will be watching closely over the next few trading sessions. Moving to Europe, lots happening there. In the UK, as you heard, there's been an extension on Brexit yet again, so up until, was it Halloween, on the 31st of October. So let's see what happens with those markets. The CAC in Paris down 2/3 and the DAX down 0.25%. And still with me in studio, Bright Kumalo from Vestact and Nessun Nayar from Sasfin Securities. I mean, I'm tired of Brexit. Hey?
I think the British people are tired of it.
Everyone.
Even the Europeans are tired of it.
It's not entertaining anymore.
No, it used to be fun, but not anymore. Absolutely not. All right, let's get back to the questions that have come through. Here's one from, there's no name on this one, but it says, could Sasol be a takeover target for a bigger oil company? given its debt levels.
You know, if you look at Sasol, it's got the traditional oil business, but it's also got a chemicals business.
Yeah.
And the big chemicals business is the plant, the $12-13 billion plant that they're
recently built. $20 billion.
We don't know the price anymore.
They've drawn a line in the sand. You know, for the time being, we're going to have to take their word for it. But who knows? To me, I mean, it takes a long time to build those plants. I think it took them about 4 years or five years to build them. And, you know, there may be bigger chemical companies that think it's, you know, just faster and easier or whatever to buy that business out. You know, I know a lot of people like that ethane cracker, but it's really a conversion business. And again, you know, it's a typical commodity business. The input costs, you've got no control over in terms of ethane feedstock. And the output costs are determined by an international market, largely, again, the Chinese. So you only really earn a margin. You know, businesses like that are not really quality businesses for the long term. So, and if I was Sasol and somebody made a good offer for that business, I would take it. You know, you could reduce the debt drastically. Of course, by doing that, you keep yourself focused as a South African business. I mean, part of the reason they did that was to try and, you know, externalize their earnings stream. So other than that, you know, I don't think anybody's too excited about South African oil. Any of the international players are excited about a local sort of, you know, South African oil player and petrochemical provider.
I suppose they just do their own exploration rather than buy a Sasol. Here's a question. Please ask the panel's view on AB InBev at these levels.
AB InBev, you know, at the right price, it's probably a buy, yeah. we look at the rising competition in the spirits, in the beers, it's mostly craft beers, and I've been seeing the volumes are increasing quite big. And they actually have a venture capital arm where they focus on going around and finding these innovative companies where they just buy them, right? So I think they're right in the sweet spot of that. And they already, you know, account for 1 in 3 beers that we drink today. So that number is only going to get higher. It's going to be 1 in 2 beers soon. And I mean, like I said, at the right price, they're definitely a good buy.
All right. Here's one from Bernard. Could you give me your opinion on prospects for Growth Point, Vugile, and Redefine International?
Slightly different property companies.
Yeah.
You know, Vukile is you've got exposure to obviously South Africa. It's mainly retail in South Africa, but also in Spain. I think they do a combination of retail and industrial in Spain.
Yeah.
Which was a recent acquisition they did. It's been one of the better performers recently. Property companies have been heavily sold off, including Growth Point and Redefine. But Vukile seems to have, you know, kept its own pace, largely because, you know, Lawrence Rapp has been very good at maintaining and managing that portfolio of properties, you know, generating rental growth in what is a very difficult environment. Of course, retail property owners in South Africa, the big question mark is Edcon, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, whereas I think a lot of them have given Edcon recently a lifeline, with this shares for rent deal, quite innovative. the future prospects of Edcon down the line is going to depend very much on what happens to the South African economy, and also how Edcon management are able to turn the business around. If Edcon is to fail, there's going to be a lot of casualties on the property side. With Growth Point and Redefine, I mean, Growth Point and Redefine, both of them have got largely South African, diversified South African exposure, pay a good yield. Redefine's got exposure, remember, in Eastern Europe with the EPP, and Growth Point through Global Growth as well. So they've got, and Australia with Growth Point. So it's very diversified property businesses, but really what you need to take place for a property company to grow its bottom line is you need rental growth to take place. And rental growth is only going to take place, you know, if we get a resumption of meaningful economic growth.
Yeah, and that's the big question, because there's actually another question that also sticks with this specifically, saying yesterday Wayne and Stephen were suggesting that local property shares were a buy, but which ones? So I suppose it's, what is the story that you are buying about the future
by the
of
index
growth? By the index? Okay. Here's one. Please ask the panel's thoughts on ARC Investments for a 5-year view?
Look, it's a business with it's like a holding company with a lot of nice operating businesses, like good quality businesses. You've got Time Bank, you've got all sorts of financial services businesses in there. You get Sanlam, it's very nice. It's a really good portfolio. It will even do better if they broke up the fee structure that they're charging, hedge fund style, okay, through their partnership in Mauritius. So that would be amazing. And it will probably, you will see the net asset value, not the net asset value, the share price start to match the underlying businesses that the company's invested in. I mean, they also got a stake in Alexander Forbes. So, I mean, it's like all of the operating businesses under it are really good. I just don't like the fee structure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Remember also they own Rain, which is this
telecom. Yeah.
They own Rain is the one that provides the bandwidth and things. So
yes,
that's a nice, growing area of consumption as well. I just don't understand. It trades at, I think, a 40 or a 50% discount to the underlying NAV.
It's about right. It's supposed to be trading there.
Yeah. So I mean, that's a big discount. Mm. So you obviously ask questions about, is the NAV right? Because you don't really question whether the market is right.
It's the NAV, right? Look, the market is always right, I can tell you that much.
So,
excepting the
extremes. A good place.
You're going to have to be very patient.
You're
going to have to wait for realizations out of those investments in Rain and in Alex Forbes and Sanlam. And that's going to take a long time.
But he's talking about 5-year plus. So
I think more like 10
more
year
like
plus.
10 year
more
plus.
Like 20 years time. If they dismantle that fee
keeps getting longer. This
just dismantle the fee structure. Everything's going to be good.
Here's a question. I'm looking for a decent rand hedge, but don't believe in Richemont, Naspers, Mediclinic. I hold some Mondi, British American Tobacco, and Anheuser-Busch. So I'm just sorry, I'm doing that because I'm interpreting the codes.
They own all of them. How can we help?
You are everywhere, Robbie. But doesn't like Richemont, doesn't like Naspers, doesn't like Mediclinic.
Doesn't like them. Yeah, the thing is, an investment, it doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It depends on what price you buy it. If you buy it at a price that's is cheaper than the intrinsic value and your weight, and it'll probably, the two should converge, right? And then you make some money. It doesn't matter whether I like, AB InBev, for example, or I've got issues with people smoking British American Tobacco. If it's a good investment and I see that it's trading at a price that I think is reasonable,
yeah,
I buy it. If it goes low, I buy it more. That's basically what I do. If I don't like Mediclinic, if I start counting all the companies I didn't like, I wouldn't.
You would
any
not
money
invest
in the market. Exactly.
Very quickly, your view on this one.
Listen, I think you need to ask a few more questions. Are you looking just for the rand hedge against the currency? In which case, you can, buy some dollars and go and put it in a bank account, or go and buy a dollar bond or something. Okay. Are you looking for something that's going to give you sustained hard currency dividend growth?
Ahead of inflation.
AB InBev to me is a good business. You can also take your money overseas and go and buy a collection of offshore businesses as well. Now it's not so hard to do. The likes of an Amazon, Google, I think are going to show us over long periods of time reasonably good growth in capital independence.
Stock pick.
Yes, I'm choosing the Barloworld BEE scheme. I think it's called Tula Caesar, which in Zulu means something I don't want to say yet, but yeah.
Let's not translate.
Shut up and listen, something like that.
Nation.
Yeah, I like it because, as a black shareholder, initially you get a 5% discount to the entry. On top of that, they've guaranteed a growth of 8%. On the second year's lease, so already you're getting 8%. So in the first 2 years, you guarantee 13%. It's there. It's written, down, and it's set in stone. And the lease agreement, because this is the property company that used to belong to Barloworld, right? Which comprises of their retail properties, which is where they put all the showrooms and stuff, and it's industrials, it's mixed use. There's a whole lot of that with some parcel of land. I think it's a nice stable business. It's a nice stable deal for me. If you're looking for something that's, you know, in the next 5-10 years is going to be stable, and you don't have to look at the share price and get a heart attack every single day, you know, you see your daily liquidity. Because another problem is that, you know, we try to convince clients to buy this and that, and they're too worried about the share price today rather than focusing on their goals and their savings for the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Your stock.
I'm going to go for Louis Vuitton. Came out with results today. I think the market was expecting 8.5% revenue growth. They printed at 11 in the quarter. So
thank you very much, Rihanna.
Thanks, yeah.
If you look at the share price, you know, over the last 10 years, it's spent a long time between 110 and 130. But in the last 3 years, I mean, it's over, what, 345 euros now. So I think there's still a lot of momentum in earnings. I think the prospects are going to be very good. Looking at how they're able to generate those sales.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much, both of you, for your time today. My guests, Bryce Kumalo from Vestact and Nessa Naya from Sasfin Securities. We'll take more of your stock-related questions next week. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
Yes, I'm choosing the Barloworld BE scheme. I think it's called Tula Sizwe, which in Zulu means something I don't want to say yet, but yeah.
Let's not translate.
Shut up and listen, something like that.
Nation.
Yeah, I like it because, I mean, as a black shareholder, initially you get a 5% discount to the entry. On top of that, they've guaranteed a growth, 8% on, you know, the second year's lease. So already, you know, you're getting 8%. So in the first 2 years, you're guaranteed 13%. It's there. It's written, you know, down, and it's set in stone. And the lease agreement, because this is the property company that used to belong to Barloworld, right, which comprises of, their retail properties, which is, you know, where they put all the showrooms and stuff, and it's industrials, it's mixed use. There's a whole lot of that with some parcel of land. I think it's a nice stable business. It's a nice stable deal for me. If you're looking for something that's, you know, in the next 5-10 years is going to be stable, and you don't have to look at the share price and get a heart attack every single day, you know, you see your daily liquidity. Because another problem is that, you know, we try to convince clients to buy this and that, and they're too worried about the share price today rather than focusing on their goals and their savings for the future.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Your stock.
I'm going to go for Louis Vuitton. Came out with results today. I think the market was expecting 8.5% revenue growth. They printed at 11 in the quarter. So
thank you very much, Rihanna.
Thanks, yeah.
If you look at the share price, you know, over the last 10 years, it's spent a long time between 110 and 130. But in the last 3 years, I mean, it's over, what, 345 euros now. So I think there's still a lot of momentum in earnings. I think the prospects are going to be very good. Looking at how they're able to generate those sales.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much to both of you for your time today. My guests, Bryce Kumalo from Vestact and Nessa Naya from Sasfin Securities. We'll take more of your stock-related questions next week. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.